Let me put it this way, Mr. Aymer. The 9000 series is the most reliable computer ever made. No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information. We are all, by any practical definition of the words, foolproof and incapable of error.
It's Sunday morning, September 21st, 2014, and this is Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted.
And with all the fooling that's been going around, and so this is a little apropos. This Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who.
It is, and of course, all my moves are planned, Eric.
So care to enlighten everybody else?
I don't even think I need to at this point anymore, do I?
Well, so I guess you and hopefully many others have read the ESPN report indicating that the Ravens had a very detailed report within hours of the incident about exactly what happened in that elevator.
And that's exactly true, but it's much, much worse than we originally had heard. Yeah, so, you know, there was an ESPN Outside the Lines report, and instead of talking about it, you know what, let's hear about it right now.
Well, within hours of that assault, they got Don an account of what occurred from the director of Raven Security, a man named Darren Sanders, who spoke to a police officer in Atlantic City. The police officer literally sat before a screen, watched the surveillance video, and gave a play-by-play account of what he watched when Ray Rice was in that elevator with his then-fiancé.
This is massive.
And the Ravens heard that information.
Full disclosure.
The executive,
they had everything.
Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the team, and Dick Cass, the president.
Yep, Dick Cass.
4 days later, after John Harbaugh, the coach, actually made
Listen
a recommendation to cut Rice after that TMZ video
and
came out outside
apart.
The elevator, the
Shredded
team executives, Bisciotti and Cass, overruled Harbaugh and then engaged
in this campaign
for leniency for Rice in Atlantic County, New Jersey, and the court system there, as well as with leniency with Roger Goodell.
Tell me more there about John Harbaugh and how he did go about asking for Rice to be cut.
And we're going to interrupt that right there.
Right now, I mean, this is the ramifications of this is going to be pretty big.
It's staggering already.
It is.
And about to get worse.
Now, like I just said, we tore Harbaugh to shreds over the stand behind your players. But now come to find out, he had to say that. He was forced to say that and come at that from that angle. He wanted him out of here.
Yep.
He heard about what happened, and it made him sick to his stomach.
Later on in this same report, they actually say that when he saw the outside video, the first thing that you guys saw and the first thing that we saw, that was it. I want this guy cut.
Get him off the team. The premier running back.
They also mentioned $14 million a year running back, by the way.
Wanted him gone.
And they also mentioned that there was an arrest in Key West.
Yep.
And he wanted him cut after that.
Yep.
So now Harbaugh, twice.
Wanted him out of there.
Went to ownership.
And so they overrule him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are in cahoots with Roger Goodell for leniency to keep the suspension low.
That's staggering.
That's insane. And then you take all that. Now we have this new knowledge. Now that we have collusion between the head office, the commissioner, and the owners and general manager of the Ravens. And now we ask ourselves, one thing that we could never figure out, why on earth commissioner of the NFL interviewing Ray Rice about domestic assault.
This is brutal.
Had his wife,
the victim,
there, the victim, in the same room answering the same questions, and then allowed her to go to a press conference with Ray Rice and accept responsibility
in her role of this? Are you kidding me?
What
was the tweet on the Ravens page? What was the tweet? It was like, I accept my responsibility for my part in this.
Yes.
Are you kidding
me? And apologize. It wasn't accept, it was apologizing. She was apologizing for her role.
You know, and then they have the, and I don't know how much of this was actually her, and then there's the thing when the inside the elevator video comes out, and she's like, oh, you people are making us relive it all again. You know what?
Look, I can get behind her with that, because obviously this woman has come to peace with it. She married this man. So to her, it's an issue. She doesn't want anybody advocating for her. So I can kind of get where her feeling on it. But what I don't understand is how she doesn't understand how this is a big issue and how it's not about her anymore.
You know what? And I don't want to deviate too far from this. No. But you know what? You just said something very important. To her, it wasn't a big deal. That smacks of... I apologize for that.
Yeah. Punchy.
Yes. No, but that feels so much... So similar to Charles Barkley's comments this week, to the general consensus in... Like, I don't know if it's the Southern community. You remember, we were talking about the South.
Yeah, that's how people discipline.
Or that socioeconomic differences where, like, they've come from, you know, this poor society, and this is how they were treated when they were kids and that kind of thing. Like, it almost feels like she's validating all of that stuff at the exact same time. Is this just a massive cultural difference between...
I mean, it could be, but at the end of the day, right is right and wrong is wrong. And to cold cock a woman in the jaw is wrong.
So we know now.
Sorry, I mean, maybe I'm taking a leap on that one, but.
So let's go. Let's continue on with this audio here, and we'll see where we can go from there, as long as ESPN doesn't sue us for using their audio.
I think we'll be all right.
I think we're safe.
Well, he did it actually more than once. It was a recommendation this he made. He just armor, found the video so horrifying.
That was the word, horrifying.
The outside the elevator video when Rice is seen dragging the.
That was the outside video that we all saw when this first started. Out
and felt that. Rice should no longer be on the team.
Just based on that first one.
When another player was arrested down in Key West in early March, we're told Harbaugh again pushed for Rice to be let go, but both times was overruled by Bisciotti and Cass. You have to understand that Ray Rice was the face of the franchise for 6 years, and Bisciotti has already said this past week how much he loves Ray Rice.
This is where it
gets
creepy.
So they really were doing everything possible to help him get through this in the court system, and then making the argument that he should only get a 2-game suspension from Roger Goodell, which is precisely what Goodell gave him.
Coincidence? Overruled. We know that Steve Bisciotti texted Ray Rice. This. What can you tell us about Rice's reaction to receiving that text message and the details of what that text actually was?
This is pretty big, too.
The text came last Tuesday, just a day after Rice's contract was terminated by the Ravens and the NFL. Suspended Rice indefinitely was released by TMZ. And Bisciotti sent two texts to Rice. The first said, "We loved you as a player. It was great having you here. Hopefully these things are going to die down." But it was the second one that really stunned Rice when Bisciotti said, football, I'd like you to know you have a job waiting for you with the Ravens, helping young guys getting acclimated to the league. And Rice was quite upset by that.
No, he wasn't.
Offended by it. It looked as if Bisciotti was sort of reaching out and saying, hey, stay on the reservation on this one. Don't upset the apple cart, and there'll be something for you down the road.
That's conjecture.
Quite offended by it.
Now, the offended thing.
Saying that's conjecture.
Wait, no.
If you take it for what it was, obviously, like we just said, he loved Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
He was. I mean, look what they put their franchise on the line, their jobs on the line, their reputation on the line to protect Ray Rice and to have a minimum suspension. And it's not because he's an Adrian Peterson type. We saw the numbers he put up last year.
3.4 yards a carry.
He wasn't going to light the world on fire.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he is a starting running back, but they would have been just fine with getting him off the team and going with a new running back. They would have been fine.
Pierce,
he's not the player he is anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was part because. Obviously, they like Ray Rice as a player, as a person in their organization. So they try their best to cover it up and limit the suspension. Now they come to a point where they have no choice. They have to cut him. They have to release him. And so the person in the organization who values him as a person, as a player, reaches out to him in a show of support and then extend saying, hey, look, when you're done with football, whether it be here, somewhere else, when you're done with football, I want you to know you got a job. You got a job here. We want you in our organization. And that's it. And now it's, well, no, he said that because he wants Ray Rice to keep his mouth shut. Keep his mouth shut about what? The owner already came out weeks ago and said that Ray Rice told us the truth, that he punched her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Ray Rice need to keep quiet about? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's not even the other thing that got me is Ray Rice being outraged?
Outraged.
Outraged. Okay. Now,
tell me how many.
You lost your right to be outraged.
As soon as you knocked your fiance unconscious.
As soon as in something clicked in your brain that said, punching her is the answer.
And we both agree that's probably not the first time it's happened. Hey, he acted like he's been there before.
Yeah, you know, hey, I can't speak to that, but yes. Now, let's finish up the last 1 minute here of this interview.
What did he do about that, Rice?
It's about Harbaugh, I think.
Say that again, excuse me?
What did he do about that, offended? Where did he take that? Did he say anything back to Bishotti?
Offended. Screw you.
His sensibilities.
Not that I know of. He Moral did not. Compass. But we spoke to two of his friends on the record that are quoted in our story.
He's got friends.
To describe Rice's reaction to that and just, you know, how upset it made him.
Aww.
You know, and just how stunned he was. The day before, he was sort of portrayed by Bishotti and by Goodell as being a liar. For having given a false account of what occurred when he met with Goodell on June 16th, and also when he told his bosses about what had happened, he insists that he told the truth to Goodell and to Raven.
And the owner of the Ravens backs that up.
You know, on the one hand,
but not
he's being
with Goodell.
Portrayed publicly as the liar, and on the other hand, Bishotti's telling him, "I've got a job for you down the road." So the contradiction there was quite offensive to Ray Rice. We were told by his friends.
Right, offensive. No other team will touch this dude.
John, help fill in
the blanks. One that will, he's offended by it.
Yeah, and so this is
so
where...
So go, turn down that job, Ray Rice. Go ahead. Turn it down.
Now, and this is where it all comes back
Jackass.
Down to... Now, what are the ramifications that the Ravens are going to face here?
I can't even imagine.
Now, we know that Roger Goodell took Jim Irsay to task for drunk driving, even though he's an owner.
Yeah.
But he's not allowed to go near his own team.
Yep.
For six games. He's not allowed to go near his own $1 billion franchise or stadium. Yep. So, but what are we going to do here with and who's going to come out as the liar?
Now this, well, that will I believe will be handled in the independent investigation by the FBI, the retired FBI agent.
Okay, so the retired FBI agent gets hired. This is the next like shoe to fall here.
Yeah,
but then. I think that we need to address here Roger Goodell's 9-minute press conference on
I don't even know
Friday.
Where to begin with that.
You know what I'm going to begin with? And this is the Roger Goodell telling the entire fan base of the NFL, you're all idiots. The first thing that came up was he hired the all-woman independent panel on domestic violence in NFL players. Okay. So
all women, not a single man on there.
We hired five women. See, we hired five women. So
everything's going to be fine.
By the way,
I
think they're all white women too.
Could be
that. Then he hires the independent, and yes, I did put air quotes around that independent FBI former FBI agent too. What's his job? He's going to investigate why Roger Goodell didn't see this tape. Okay.
And also the Ravens. He's supposed to investigate every part of this.
Okay.
What happened, what went wrong, who went wrong, suspensions, recommendations, all this other stuff, which supposedly, when the investigation is complete, will be completely transparent.
Then Roger Goodell goes on stage on Friday, gives like a 9 or 10 minute press conference. And the thing that was most striking to me, and was almost echoed the exact same sentiment as the ownership of the Ravens. We're going to use this as an opportunity to try to change the culture of America.
That's because the NFL in itself is a microcosm of society. So you have all different races, creeds, religions.
And apparently degrees of violence toward
women. All different degrees of violence, children, and weapons, and
toward
children.
Dogs.
Yep.
And toward
so therefore you
driving.
Got all of the world and society wrapped up in one tiny ball. So what he's saying is, well, if we can fix this snow globe version of the world, which is the NFL, then maybe people will take a lesson from that.
Oh, that's nice, Roger. Thanks. Let's put some more lipstick on that pig.
Yeah. Bottom line is it couldn't be more disingenuous. But I look at the flip side of this.
Okay, talk to me.
What the hell else was he supposed to say? At this point, there's really nothing else he could have said.
No, you know,
going forward, that's going forward, going forward, going forward, going forward.
Father Callahan of the Stephen King novels, like my mother used to say, all your lies will cross your eyes. Mm. the most the best thing Roger Goodell could have done, ask me, after his cavalcade of lies and bullshit, come out. Hey, everybody. This was atrocious. Ray Rice committed a criminal act. In vain, I thought I could sweep it under the rug, and I was unable to do so. I have lied to you. I have lied to the fans of the NFL. I have lied to the players. I have not done my job as commissioner, and therefore, effective at noon tomorrow, I wish to retire my position as commissioner of the NFL. Period. Nah, end of story.
I don't agree.
Okay.
I don't agree. Well, with all the, it's funny. It's the media and anybody else involved looking at Goodell as if no owner, general manager, media member has ever lied, tried to work things to their advantage, try to hide things.
Of course.
Of course, exactly. But should the person lose his job? I don't think so.
After this?
Yeah, I don't think so.
The body of work that... Oh, so you think Roger Goodell should stay in his job? But Roger Goodell is fine now? Is that...
I didn't say he was fine, but I don't think he should lose his job.
He should not only lose his job over this. He should... The owners... You know what? I bet the owners start to turn on him now. Because the court of public opinion is what sells tickets, okay? When people love the game and they love their teams and they're rah, 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 and they're ignoring all the bullshit from Monday to Saturday, they're going to go to the games, they're going to buy the gear and all that other stuff. The NFL already took a 3% dip in viewership just last week.
That's because it's all fresh. Guaranteed in 6 weeks, nobody's talking about this.
As long as Roger Goodell is not the commissioner anymore.
No,
this wrong. This is nobody's a scarlet talking about this letter
shit
on him.
In 6 weeks.
This is a scarlet letter on Roger Goodell.
Nobody's talking about this in 6 weeks.
Guaranteed.
No.
So, all right, so we can mark it on our whiteboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 weeks from today, so that would be
people
week
have a
nine,
short memory.
Week nine of the NFL season, nobody thinks or cares about this anymore.
This is no longer a topic.
I don't think Roger Goodell will even be the commissioner in 6 weeks.
Absolutely, he will. He'll be the commissioner in 6 weeks. He'll be the commissioner at the end of the year, and he'll be the commissioner next year.
I think that this is the time that the owners start to turn on him, because now if Robert Kraft goes and stands up for Roger Goodell like he has in the past, he starts to lose credibility. He's backing a liar. He's backing a guy that doesn't care about beating women, all of this other stuff.
He's not going to have to come out and do it publicly. Like I said,
the opinion of owners is.
But he's none of this. None of the. We're not going to see or hear any of what's going on behind the scenes with the owners. We're not going to hear any backlash from the owners.
This is good. I'm glad you just said that, because you know what? Roger Goodell counted on that.
Yep.
All the way up.
Very well.
He counted on that. Nobody will find out about this. Nobody will see the video.
But he wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one. Then that means the Ravens ownership should be stripped.
Two people sell
the team.
Two people can see. Two people can keep a secret.
Everybody in the office. Fire them all. Everybody. Fire everybody. Fire.
Oh, wait.
Take the team away from the owner of the Ravens.
You can't force somebody to sell private property.
What they did in the NBA.
They did in the NBA. Fine. That was actually the owner's wife
who had
the owner's wife, who was the one who sold the team in the NBA, and she had a share in the team.
Yeah, but it was still a forced sale.
By a person who had a stake in ownership in the team.
No, it was a forced sale by the NBA.
I understand that, but they could not have done it had they not had somebody who had a stake in the ownership of the team.
That's not true. That's not true.
They can't force this guy to sell his team, and this guy won't. This guy is a multiple Super Bowl champion. NBA. This isn't the NBA.
Just saying.
This isn't the NBA.
Just saying. If the axe is going to fall on everybody that Ray Rice should never play another down in the NBA.
In the
Peterson,
NFL.
In the NFL.
It's all good. I got you.
Peterson should never play another down in the NFL. Get rid of them all. The only person that should keep their job in that case is Harbaugh.
Okay.
See you later.
But all right. Everybody. Good. I'm glad you're saying that. Right. So get rid of everybody. Did you include Roger Goodell in that?
If that's what it's going to be, absolutely.
Then
clean house. If you're going to clean house, Roger Goodell can't be the only one. If Roger Goodell's going to get fired or forced to resign, everybody else has to go too.
And
everybody.
And
we're setting a precedent for this going forward.
We balk at the use of the suffix gate when we talk about
things. Yeah, it's so uncomfortable. Okay.
But let's go back to actual Watergate. And Richard Nixon knew that as this information started to trickle out, he had one of two things to do: stick around to get impeached or retire.
Yep.
Resign. I'm sorry.
Yeah, resign. Yeah, yeah.
Roger Goodell is facing the exact same thing here.
Except this is...
he's forced to resign.
The sports league and not the United States of America.
It's a $9 billion tax-exempt agency.
But again, you still have to prove...
prove what?
That Goodell saw the tape.
Aren't we in the process of proving that now?
In the process, but honestly...
that's why.
I don't think that they are going to be able to prove that Roger Goodell saw that. I think he is a very smart man. And you know what?
He clearly is a smart guy.
And because he's that smart, I'm saying it now. He never saw that tape.
He's responsible. As he says, the buck stops with me. It's his job.
He's going to accept responsibility once this investigation's over.
He's
going to do a mea culpa.
He won't survive to see
the end
of this.
I absolutely think he will.
And my friends, with that,
we're going to have to put this one to bed. All right. Obviously, we will follow this as it goes forward. But for a while, we're going to take a break, me and Ted, before we slit each other's throats.
And on the way back in, we're going to have a guest join us, Tommy the Greek. He's going to join us with his picks. Now, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, at Eric and Ted ICS, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And our website, ericandted.com. And don't forget to search us on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Welcome back to the Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And we are going to break new ground tonight. Tommy, can you hear us? We got Skippy the Greek with us to help make our picks for the week. Now,
I certainly can, and I'm filling in for the Puerto Rican Minute. I actually cannot be here.
Well, we actually wanted to make sure that we mentioned that Ahmed the Puerto Rican was going to join us, but...
We didn't get his picks in, so we're gonna have to go with Tommy the Greek and go with his picks this week.
All right. So
it was, you found a Greek person and then chose the absolute opposite.
Yeah. So we're gonna go with our ESPN.com schedules for this week.
Do you got your schedule up there, Tommy?
Yeah. Ready to go.
Excellent. Fantastic. So we're gonna throw the games now. I want to start off with the first game on my list here. San Diego, after their massive win against Seattle, flying all the way back east to play Buffalo. I have to tell you, I see a letdown for San Diego on this one. What do you think, boys?
Go ahead, Tommy. Who you got in that game, buddy?
Well, I'm taking the Bills on this one. I mean, Jim Kelly's alive. Aluka owns the team. They're 2-0. How can you not win?
Right? I like the attitude. Anything to say about San Diego coming back east? Or is that just add to the fire?
Well, I mean, their running back's hurt, and you have Philip Rivers and his bolo tie coming to town.
Hey,
really, don't knock a bolo tie.
I won't have anybody badmouth Phil Rivers on this show, buddy.
he carries Phil Rivers' jock strap, okay? He launders it for him.
That's just wrong, both of you bastards. But I am going with Buffalo, too. So do we have a...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go against both of you and say you're both insane. And that San Diego, who just beat Seattle, is going to destroy Buffalo.
Wow. You know what? That's a holdover from Buffalo beating Miami. He's still butthurt over that.
Like I said, San Diego's going to destroy them.
Well, I mean... in the defense of Backstrom here, San Diego is favored by ESPN, both by their projections and by the fan pick.
Oh, they're favored by ESPN? Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to go with Buffalo. No, I'm going to keep my pick. I'm going to keep it San Diego.
I'm king of the pygmies.
All right, so I got...
Marv Levy. Marv, take it away. Hey, folks, let me explain everything I have. We've done a little practice.
Marv Levy and the Buffalo Bills.
Viewing audience. Saturday night, before the Miami game, when we met with our team, I made a very rash promise to them. I told them that if they won the game the next day against the Miami Dolphins, I'd write them personally a fight song, a Buffalo Bills fight song for our...
Buffalo Bills fight song, buddy.
We don't need a Buffalo Bills fight song. Let's move on.
So next on the list, we have Dallas visiting St. Louis.
I'm picking St. Louis in this one, guys.
You know, I would love to agree with you, but I think that Dallas is just going to... Oh, wait, Eric. Dun, dun, dun. I think we have cheap game of the week. Eric's cheap game of the week is the Dallas game. Yeah,
is it really?
$10 tickets.
Holy smoke. So, yes, this is my cheap game of the week. Everybody run out. Go to St. Louis. Get yourself a ticket for $10. Pay $20 for the hot dog. It's okay.
I got Dallas winning this one reluctantly. I don't think that I would hope to God the Cowboys go 3-13. But I think they're going to end up 8-8 in mediocrity again. And this is one of the ones they win.
What about you, Tommy?
I get the Rams in this one. I think Dallas Cowboys suck in all things that are involved, and I think St. Louis has a talented young receiver corps.
Yeah, but they don't have anybody to throw him the ball. So unless Jeff Fisher can get out there with a hand cannon, I don't think it's going to happen this week, as much as I would like to see it.
I think they're going to be all right. I'm with Tommy on that one.
All right, so I get that one.
So cheap game of the week. We got two picking St. Louis and the loyal Cowboys fan.
All right.
Once again, always a homer.
No, please. I'd really rather not be on this one. So now we have Washington, 1 o'clock this 1 o'clock in the afternoon, heading over to Philadelphia. They're going to pick up.
That's going to be a good game.
They're going to pick up a Geno's cheesesteak, and Washington's going to choke on it. I got the Eagles smashing Washington on this one.
Tommy, who do you got, buddy?
Oh, I got the Redskins. The fucking Kirk Cousins era begins.
Yeah, I can see the Kirk Cousins era.
I got to agree with him.
I think that Philadelphia just has enough in their wheelhouse. If they can put together, they've had two games with two good halves of football that have resulted in wins for them. That's why I'm thinking...
The Jeremy Maclin thing just isn't happening. This is a Washington game.
All right, well...
Yeah, and I hope you're right about that, Tommy, because I am playing a certain douchebag this week in the social fantasy league. His name's Ted, and he's starting Maclin.
And Maclin had the most targets in the entire NFC East last week, including Dez Bryant. So let's. I'm going to go with Philly on this one.
All right. So once again, this is might be a first. Tommy and I have agreed twice in a row.
This is well. Then everybody grab onto something heavy.
You guys, really quick. Ted's probably going to play Kirk Cousins this week too. So I mean, he's betting against himself.
Hey, we'll see what happens. But
why didn't you pick him up? I think you're in need of a running back. I didn't know if I told everybody a quarterback. Yeah. But Tommy's in our league as well.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry. I'm 2-0 in first place in the league right now. I didn't have first waiver priority.
Touche. Yeah, that's great, but I hope that that whole Carlson Palmer thing works out for you, buddy.
I hope it works out, too.
Now, we got another 1 o'clock game here. It's a $71 ticket, and we have Houston visiting the Giants. I think.
Oh, my God, what a crap show that is.
No, I got to tell you.
I got to go with Houston.
Houston smashes them.
I got to go with Houston.
Yeah, I think the...
Houston, no contest here.
All right, so we got a sweep here. We're all going with Houston, and we all agree all right. that there's probably well, not then, a team in the NFL worse than the Giants.
Okay, wait, hold on then. Because we all agree, we have to have like kind of a side bet on this. What's the over-under on the number of Manning faces? I'm going with 9.
No less than 5.
Okay, yeah, I would guide. If the over-under is 4, I'm going with the over.
Yeah, I would take the over as well.
What do you got on over-under on Manning faces today?
Certainly over. I mean, Eli's in a West Coast offense, and he's just really upset about that.
He's a sad, sad man.
Oh, do you think that his 9-step drops and looking for the open guide that doesn't fit in with anything he's ever done in his entire career?
Receivers learn how to run a route.
You know, Super Bowl MVP, you can do what you want until you lose and you retire.
What is it? Is it Victor Cruz? There was some statistic I saw this week. I don't think he's caught a touchdown pass in like something like 11 games.
Well, yeah, because
like,
I haven't seen him do the salsa dance in quite some time. So,
and I don't think he'll be doing it this week. So, we have the rudderless ship, the rudderless Viking ship, traveling down to New Orleans to play the Saints. I think is another sweep across the board.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, yeah. I mean, do we even have to say that we're all in agreement here?
Yeah, I think we pretty much got the Saints across the board here, Skip.
The Saints, featuring Ahmed Bradshaw, former Giants fame.
I don't know Ahmed Bradshaw. I know an Ahmad Bradshaw.
Oh, wait, well, what are you getting with semantics now?
Well, if we should have an Ahmed's picks here, so I figure.
No, is that a little tribute? Yeah, former Giant, yeah. Ahmed Bradshaw?
Yeah. All right, former Giants fan.
And is Pierre Thomas still alive? We'll find out this week.
Yeah, I think he's actually getting the ball.
All right, so skipping that game, we have Tennessee heading over to Cincinnati.
Well, I'm going to go with Cincinnati on this one. I get, you know, you got Dalton. Green is, what, a game-time decision at this point?
It's just Cincinnati in a walk for me.
Yeah, even Sanu, you know.
Well, I think it's Mohamed Sanu for fucking 175 yards. We'll take Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's three in a row.
And
these
I think
must be really easy picks.
And by the way, Sanu is 2 for 2 with 2 touchdown passes in his career as a quarterback. So...
So watch out for that, guys.
So watch out for Sanu. And no, nobody gets credit for a touchdown pass if your wide receiver throws it. All right, so we have Baltimore after their huge win this past week, visiting the mistake by the lake.
Dude, I'll tell you this. If Baltimore were playing the Giants, if Baltimore were playing... another crappy
team. I'd
root
for a dumpster fire.
St. Louis, Dallas. Doesn't matter who Baltimore's playing, I am taking the latter. So, in this case, it will be Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the mistake by the lake on this one myself. I'll take Cleveland and the Brian Hoyer experience. What do you got, Skippy?
Yeah. Cleveland for the win.
Are you sure that you don't have a very inspirational and, you know, inspired Baltimore team rallying together and just really just coming out like gangbusters and destroying Cleveland?
You know, strictly for fantasy purposes, I see Bernard Pierce running 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, but no. Cleveland
and so, wins. Being as you and Bernard Pierce's mother are the only two people that see
that. So, all right. Wow, this is kind of getting boring, guys. That's 4 games in a row. We've all picked the same
team.
Well,
I think
we're going to have to switch things up a bit. What's the next game, Ted?
We got Green Bay visiting Detroit, and I think you guys know where I stand on this. Even though Detroit's coming off a bad loss last week, I got Detroit smashing Green Bay.
Tommy?
I think you're entirely too high on the Detroit train. Green Bay wins. Going away. Easy.
Wow, Green Bay wins going away.
We do have, and we keep coming to this, we did pick Detroit to win the division.
Yep.
So we're almost obligated to pick Detroit.
No way, man. Detroit's got it going on this year.
All right, so Tommy is going to go with the Green Bay Packers. Eric's going to go with Detroit. Ted's
okay, who's the jerk?
His name would be Tommy.
All right, so moving on past that game, we have another toilet game here. We have Indianapolis at Jacksonville.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville in a walk.
Yes. That laughter you hear is genuine. And, yes. You know, this is like a whole week's worth of Thursday night games. Like, that's how crappy this week's games are.
I would love to pick this as my upset of the week. I want to so bad.
I know, but you can't do it.
I just don't think it's possible.
You can't do it.
No, I know it's not possible.
Yeah, so it's
I don't care if they were playing in Antarctica.
Cecil Shorts go for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns, but it's not happening.
I will
say... You heard it here first. 4 touchdowns, 200 yards by Cecil Shorts.
This is Jacksonville's first... we're going into week 4, right? This is Jacksonville's...
Week 3,
I'm sorry. This is Jacksonville's first time not... featured as Eric's cheap team of the week. Yeah, they're at $31.
Yeah,
it's the first time they haven't been the cheap team of the week.
St. Louis took that one big time with the $10 ticket, which, by the way, is the lowest of the season. So
yeah, far. That one definitely gets an asterisk.
Yep, absolutely. Next to it. We'll see if that holds up throughout the season. Next game.
The last of the 1 o'clock games we got here, and Eric and I will be live tweeting from this game, Oakland at New England.
Well, I was going to start with a riddle. What's worse than Patriots fans?
You and I having to be there?
Take another guess. What's worse than a Patriot fan?
A Raider fan.
And what's worse than a Raider fan?
A Raider fan in New England?
That's right. Raiders fan in New England. This should prove to be very interesting, very taxing, very frustrating. We will try to keep our heads while we're at this game. It's going to be very difficult with all the Tom Brady... lovers, because I was going to go...
Fellatiating?
Yes, thank you. I was going to get a little crass. And then, of course, the staggered, you know, Raiders fans in and out. We probably will witness a couple of fights.
And that'll be in the stands.
Yes. Yeah. I promise you we will not be a part of it because we are white and undersized.
Yeah. And so, you know what? Let's throw this one to Skippy first. Do you have the ghost of Al Davis winning this one, or do you have the ghost of Tom Brady's former greatness?
Former self, yeah.
Yeah, winning this one. What do you got, Skip?
Well, I think the better question is James Jones over or under 120 yards in garbage time.
That's not giving us a winner. Come on now.
I think that did tell us the winner.
It's clearly the Patriots.
It's clearly the Patriots. Again, I'm sorry for all the fans out there for the 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, he picked Green Bay.
Yep.
That was almost 6, but he picked Green Bay. Shame on you, Tommy.
All right, so we inch our way into the 4 o'clock games. And
we're going to start Kansas City at Miami. Tommy, who do you got? Say it, Tommy.
Sadly, the Dolphins.
That's what I wanted to hear,
wow,
buddy.
Wait, hold on. Why sadly, Skip?
Because he doesn't want to ever root for the Dolphins because that would make Eric happy.
I just can't. You know, for somebody whose name is Kniles, I mean, really, it's a K and then Niles, and then it's Kniles.
Like a knife.
Sad.
Yeah, silly.
Like a knife.
You know, any word on the health and well being of one Jamal Charles? Speaking of,
yeah, Eric, I got him Steve. I got him on the bench.
That was your number one pick. You were really excited.
I was super excited about what a letdown he's been. Thank God it's only week 3, and I'm sure he will come in quite handy in the middle and later games. But yes, it's frustrating to say the least.
Well, more frustrating, your on-air partner is going with the Kansas City Chiefs on this one.
You're an asshole, but that's okay. That just gives me an opportunity to get an extra point than you, my friend.
Well, I think what you're going to actually see this week is the Dolphins, and I can confirm, won their one big game of the year.
In Miami.
Against the Patriots, and that's a wrap.
They're going to go 1-15. It's a wrap.
No, that's the wrap on big games, and this is a big game for them.
You think this is a big game?
Against the playoff team from last year?
That was last year. Have they played like a playoff team this year?
And it was last year with a have the Saints? Decimated offensive line. It's not the same deal.
Not the same deal at all.
Okay, man, I'm going Kansas City on this one.
And me and my buddy Tommy are going the right way.
Now we're buddies.
Yeah. And we are picking Miami.
You're such a sham. You're such a fraud.
I should be fired.
You're a fraud.
I should be fired.
You're a fraud.
You'll get my resignation next week.
All right, so the next 4 o'clock game, let's go to
the biggest game of the week. This is our pick of the week. This is our game of the week.
Hold on.
Right?
We have missed San Francisco at Arizona.
Are you going to go with that? That's not my game of the week, so let's make that clear. Yeah, San Francisco at Arizona, another who cares game.
I don't know about a who cares game on this one.
I'm going to go with Arizona on this one. I am. I'm going with Arizona beating San Francisco, I'd say about 21-17.
You know, I think my heart says go for Arizona, but my head and anything that I've ever learned about football in my entire life says San Francisco walks them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who do you got on that one, Skippage?
Well, entirely dependent on Carson Palmer. If Carson Palmer starts, Arizona, if not San Francisco.
What, no faith in T.J. Yates?
Make a pick, my friend.
Oh, wait, T.J. Yates plays for
San Francisco
Atlanta.
Carson Palmer apparently can't feel his thumbs.
And who really needs a thumb to pass a football anyway?
Wow.
Clearly.
All right, so we got...
So, 2 for San Fran, I'm going with Arizona.
Next, we have Carolina at Pittsburgh.
Going right over that 4 o'clock game, huh?
Well, I'm
going
to give it back to you for a closer
Sunday
on this.
Sunday night game. Pittsburgh at Carolina. I hate Pittsburgh.
Can't stand him.
That's an understatement. I'm going with Carolina.
You know, I think Kelvin Benjamin has a big day against the Flintstones. I mean, the secondary of the Steelers.
I think Stewart rushes for a really good game this week.
But I think that I'm going to have to go with Pittsburgh on this one. I think that Ben's kind of feeling his oats now, and
yeah,
and okay. He's feeling his oats rather than 18-year-old girls in barroom bathrooms.
Yeah, no, he's gone to 17-year-olds.
Okay,
that can't be verified.
So who do you got in the 8 o'clock game with Pittsburgh and Carolina there, Skip?
I got Carolina with Jonathan Stewart starting at running back. Strangely enough.
I know. Good for him, though, man. The aged one.
What I just said.
Well, yeah. I think
for him and like the three headed monster 5 years ago.
Are you all right?
Yeah, you okay there?
Well, I'm choking a little bit on chicken pot pie, but...
chicken pot pie and Sam Adams. That's what I'm talking about.
That's it, man. That sounds like breakfast. Now, marquee game of the week here.
And we know we're not talking about the Chicago Jets game.
On Monday night. That, you know, 7,000 tickets still remain.
I got Chicago on that game.
All right, so you want to do that one before the end?
I got Chicago on that game.
All right.
Monday night football.
I'm going to have to go with Chicago destroying the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think the Jets have a chance. Geno Smith is not the savior.
Neither was Mark Sanchez.
He could have been.
I know. So who do you got on this one, Skip, with Chicago visiting the Jets on Monday night?
Well, I have Chicago unless Geno Smith gets possessed by, like, the ghost of Joe Montana. It's not even close.
Actually, he was possessed by the ghost of Joe Montana. And,
Montana!
So he's actually done really bad mob movies lately, and it's gotten worse. Now...
Well, he was actually possessed by, like, the ghost of, like, awful Skechers shoes, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh!
Is he really?
Yeah.
Is he wearing Skechers?
Yeah, I think he does. But I
hope they're paying him for that.
I actually find Skechers to be rather comfortable, so... I don't know.
But not on a football field.
To heck with you guys. So the final game of the week here, we kind of held off on this one because it does look like to be the NFL's marquee matchup of the week.
And is the most expensive ticket of the week at $177.
So we have Denver visiting Seattle. This game is over before the plane touches down.
So let me guess, Ted. Peyton's going to go in there and just rip him apart.
No, Peyton's going to go in there and crap his pants and dribble down the front
much.
Of his shirt.
That's I knew we were friends for a reason. I too have Seattle. And I mean, it's going to be a repeat of last year's Super Bowl.
It's actually going to be worse.
You think so?
Yeah, and there's a reason why I think it's going to be worse.
We must have lost Tommy.
Well, hold on. Let's get Skip back on the line. It's going to be worse than it was in the Super Bowl.
All right, we'll see. Now, Tommy, who do you have?
I have the Denver Broncos with a resurgent Wes Welker.
Are you
really?
You have the Broncos winning in Seattle.
Because of Wes Welker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so Tom. Yeah. All right, then let's hold on. Let's validate the issue before we tear it down. What does Wes Welker statistically finish like? What do you say, like 80 yards and a touchdown, or what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, that would be identical to the Super Bowl, but I would argue the Broncos have 11 starters they didn't have in the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning is angry. So, yeah, they're going to win.
Okay. Now,
and how angry is he?
Well, the one thing you can't teach a team to be is tough. And the Broncos are nowhere near as tough as Seattle.
They're not going in Seattle and winning that game.
Yeah, Seattle.
So what do I get if I win, then? Like, I get to...
An attaboy?
Yeah, well, we keep going until the end of the year.
I get 20 minutes on your radio show.
Well, wait, you get 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
If Seattle loses, you get 20 minutes?
Maybe a five-minute rant, you know, about...
I feel like Mr. Sherman was humiliated by...
Really, Tommy?
Nelson?
That's really how you classify the performance, week? Humiliated?
Jordy Nelson lit him up.
Let him up. What was his stats while he was guarding him? Because they did move him around.
Jordy Nelson.
Something yards and two touchdowns.
I'm sorry?
200 and some odd yards.
I mean just specifically against Sherman because he didn't guard him all game.
Well, I mean, you can't count the first week because nobody threw at him, period.
Yes, we know this. But I'm saying, those are pretty strong words.
Specifically against Sherman, and it's like five throws for 50 yards.
Okay. So five throws is embarrassed him.
Didn't they run 70 offensive plays?
Five throws and 50
five out of 70.
Greatest and Nathan.
Five plays out of 70. Even the sun shines on a dog's ass.
San Francisco is a shitbag and apparently shouldn't be playing in the league. Yeah, it's a big difference.
All right. So now we have Seattle for the two of us, and you have Denver.
Now who's going to be exposing Sherman from Denver? Is it going to be? Is it going to be Demaryius Thomas?
No, it's going to be Julius Thomas.
Okay, Julius Thomas. So they're going to have Richard Sherman move in to cover a tight end?
I don't see that happening.
I don't know.
No, they're going to have him move out, and they're going to allow their tight end to freaking go for 100 yards.
Oh, man.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, an entirely new and revolutionary way to run the Broncos offense as brought to you by Skippy the Greek. I love it.
Yeah, I like it. Shaking things up.
So now,
shit interesting.
You guys laugh, but next week I want to revisit this episode because.
Hey, if you end up right, Tommy, don't worry. We'll let you get your pound of flesh.
Yeah, without a doubt.
There's plenty to spare.
So
I don't want to be edited out for like a fucking 15-minute version of Xanadu or something because, you know,
that's
how the show runs.
Well, you never know when it comes down to us. So with that, on behalf of Eric, on behalf of Skippy the Greek, and on behalf of myself, Ted, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at ericandtedics. At ericandtedics. Visit our website, ericandted.com.
And
check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Eric and Ted. And make sure
you go to iTunes.
Search
us up, and we'd like to thank Tommy for joining us. And we'll be enjoying making all his predictions totally false.